Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome to this episode of the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I am so delighted to have Dr. Shiva Asar with us today. She's a clinical psychologist, a host of the Tell Me Some More with Dr. Shiva podcast. And she is here today to help us amp up our confidence in all aspects of our lives, including the dating world. So, Dr. Shiva, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be meeting with you for this conversation.
Well, good. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the work that you're doing.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I'm a clinical psychologist, and I have focused a lot on relationships and supporting individuals in living a life that's going to be most fulfilling to them. I think so often we, you know, we're influenced by societal expectations of what we need to be doing or relationships we need to be having. And so I've just found that helping individuals and having the skills to be just more of themselves, be more confident, be, more clear on what their values are, what their relationships, what type of relationships they want, is really what drives me and has brought me to doing this work. And I've seen just such a great impact of how we can support ourselves in being more fully ourselves and showing up most fully. Our experiences themselves are so much more gratifying, right? And especially within relationships.
Okay, so let's jump right in. Who doesn't want to know how to become more confident, including me? So tell us, give us your playbook. What do you think? How do we feel more confident in a world that sometimes makes us really question ourselves?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, when I think about improving our confidence, I think so much of it just comes back to how we tend to speak to ourselves. So in relation to dating or any other thing that you want to do. So I encourage individuals to really just take a moment and just tune in, just pause for a second and say, how do I tend to speak to myself when I'm put in an anxiety provoking situation or when I'm going on this date? What is that story that's going through my mind? And so really paying attention to that story, because I think so often we're saying things to ourselves that either aren't true or aren't helpful to our confidence. And so when you're able to tap into that, I think it's also really challenging those stories, right? So, you know, I'll bring this sort of to life a bit. You know, a lot of times when we haven't been in a dating scene and we're going on a date, we're like, oh my gosh, this person's not going to like me. Like, I'm not a good dater. I'm awkward. Really paying attention to what are you saying to yourself? Is that going to help you in doing well on that date? And challenging that, I think asking yourself, when have I actually been quite successful on a date? What evidence do I have of that? And if it isn't a date itself, I think it's even focusing on your relationships with peers, with friends, with loved ones. What do people say about you? So I think those are some ways to really start to help us in being able to see ourselves more accurately, but also being more confident when we're going into the dating, process, and really just any other area of our life.
And so let's say I am going out to meet a new friend. We all know I'm married for 26 years. So let's say I'm going out on a girl date with someone who from school who was like, oh my God, let's get to know each other. Like, let's go out for a glass of wine. Great. Now, let's say, for example, I'm driving and I'm telling myself, oh my gosh, I don't make great first impressions. Like, I don't know that she's going to like me. I might not be interesting enough. I'm not a big gossip and I don't know all of what's going on in school. And I start to kind of question that. What do you, in that moment, what do I do?
So in that moment, I would actually say, what actually makes you interesting? Start listing out, like, what are either compliments you've received, or what are things that other people that know you well, what are the things that they say they gravitate towards about you? What traits do you have? What does make you interesting? And, you know, so let's say if I was in that situation, I would say, you know, people tend to I'm pretty warm, right? Even if I'm awkward or if I feel awkward, I will smile and I'll be curious and that will start conversation. So I would start by noticing what it is that you're good at. So noticing the positive or things that other people have told you that you're good at that.
And so this sounds like it's actually smart to think about before you're en route to the date, that this is something that, dear listener and Bella, we should all do, is sit down and understand what is that nasty personality, bad voice, inner critic inside of us? What are they saying to us? What's all the shit that they're saying to try to pull us down, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if you're like me, we can say, oh my gosh, I'm awkward. People don't like me. I'm never good on it. What are those things? And sit down. And do you recommend writing them down?
Yeah, I think it's helpful to write it down if we're going to challenge it. So maybe it's writing it down and then replacing it with something that's more accurate. So rather than saying, I'm awkward, I may say, hey, I feel awkward. And also, I know I'm actually quite skillful in a lot of social situations. So I think it's important to challenge it. I think another, even if we aren't in the place to maybe be challenging it, or it could be helpful to reach out for additional support if you are wanting to challenge it. I think it's also just helpful to notice, okay, what are those thoughts that tend to come up for me? So that thought, usually when I'm feeling anxious or I'm meeting someone new, it's I'm awkward, and being prepared for it. If I know I'm going to go on a date and the thought that's going to come up for me is I'm awkward, then I can say to myself, oh, Sheba, there's a familiar thought for you again. It's here. It arrived. We were expecting it.
Hi, yeah, friend. Have a seat.
Yeah. Have a seat and let me continue. So it's like, if we can take control of it and notice and be prepared for what thought can come up for us, and then in that moment say to myself, here it is. This is familiar thought, or there's that familiar voice again, then it takes away some of that emotional charge, right? It helps us to be able to move forward and go on that date or whatever event that we're wanting to go to without it really deterring us from that activity or engaging in the ways that we're wanting to.
Okay. So, and now we replace that thought with something more positive. Like you're saying, I'm really warm. I'm a great listener and people really tend to open up to me. Yeah. And that doesn't sound that awkward, does it? No.
No. Yeah. No, that's great. More positive, more accurate, right? I think it's in some ways, it's also being our own cheerleader, right? So if we're thinking about dates, taking that moment and ask yourself, you know, if this was my best friend who was going on this date and they have all of the same traits and attributes that I have, areas of growth, strengths, they're all the same. What would I say to them? Yeah. What would I say to them in that moment? I think that can be so powerful to help us to just take a step back from our own emotions and our own insecurities and just see ourselves more objectively. You know, what I would say to someone I care about and someone I love, or, you know, even a colleague in a professional context, is oftentimes significantly different than what I would say to myself. And what we know is typically what we say to other people is more accurate to how we deserve to be responding to ourselves. So maybe another thing that we can all do is just take that moment and say, what would I say to someone else in the same exact situation? The person who may be a little awkward, but it's also super warm. What would I say to them in that moment?
Right, exactly. Like, you're amazing. You're such a great person. Like, everyone likes you when you walk into a room. You have great energy. You make people feel so welcome and safe, right? And so focusing on those things, I think. And, you know, while we're on the topic, one of the things I always tell my clients is focus on the other person. We're so self-focused, almost obsessively, right? And I'm not saying that from like a narcissistic standpoint, but we're willing to look at our own flaws through this total funny mirror. But instead, if you turn the mirror outward and you focus on the person sitting across from you, what often helps me when I'm feeling anxious is, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can to make her feel good in my presence. I'm going to be warm. I'm going to be welcoming. I'm going to be a great listener. And I really want to get to know what she's really about and get to know the best things about her. And as soon as I switch into the other focus, focusing on the other person instead of myself, your brain can't do two things at the same time, my dear listener. If you are focused on yourself and your own anxiety, guess what? Turn the switch to the other person. You cannot be worried about yourself and another person at the same time.
I love that you said that. No, absolutely. I think it's focusing on the other person and then ask just an open-ended question. Be curious. Ask them any kind of question. I think that within itself, you know, focusing on the other person will help us to feel more relaxed. But when other people share about themselves, they feel more connected. They feel more relaxed. So I love that you said that. I think the other piece of what I would also add to that is, you know, usually when we're on a date, we most of us want to be liked by the other person. And it typically, it doesn't even matter if you don't like them. We want the other person to enjoy us, to like us. And so I would encourage people, rather than wanting to, you know, be liked by that person, which can add more anxiety if we're already feeling anxious about it, really focus on getting to know them and then see how you also feel in that moment, right? So not being overly focused on yourself, but seeing like, how is this experience going for me? Am I enjoying talking to this person? Am I enjoying learning about them? I think that can also help us in just easing that anxiety in that moment.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of being on a date, and I know something else that you specialize in is helping people navigating conflict and conflict resolution. Let's say someone on a date says something that you disagree with. Like, what do you do in that moment?
Well, I guess it sort of depends on, right? Is it? But what I would say is, if I was in that situation, I think I'm imagining that we're probably going to have reactions to that disagreement, right? But I would actually encourage a person to just pause and just be curious. Ask them a question. Hey, where is this coming from? Or, hey, can you tell me a little bit more about what you mean by that? Because I think when we can pause and slow down, that will help us with our own reaction, right? We're not going to come from this reactive space, but also we may learn some information that will help us to be able to connect with that person, or will give us insight into what they actually meant and what they intended to communicate. And I think once we have a better understanding, I think then focusing on our own experience, maybe letting them know how you feel about a specific topic, but using I statements. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with I statements, but communicating maybe how something made you feel or what your perspective is, but only focusing on you. So, you know, hey, I feel very differently. I actually feel that I felt, you know, really anxious when that situation happened. So I'm focusing on my specific feelings, which no one can disagree with, but rather than reacting to that person's emotions or what I think they should be, or, you know, blaming them in any sort of way, which is likely to lead that conflict to escalate.
I really like the way you phrase that. I don't even know if you know how elegantly you said that, but I just want to highlight that sometimes we say to people in such a blunt, aggressive way, well, I disagree. And I find that such a conversational disconnector, right? And instead, you said, well, I feel differently, right? And that is a much softer way that doesn't come off as like, shit, I just hit my head into a brick wall. I disagree. It's like, okay, I disagree sort of makes people take up arms, right? Yeah. And you want to, now you want to get into a debate. But if somebody says, well, I feel differently, right? It's just, it is a more, I feel like it's a more connecting way to say what you feel using your voice, but it doesn't come off as defensive and triggered.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yes. Yeah. I think it allows people, usually it will allow that other person to hear us out. Right. So if we say, no, I disagree, or you're completely wrong, you're right. It is a conversation just ender. And, you know, it's likely to escalate that situation or just lead to more negative emotions. But I think if we can share with someone how we feel about something, we're actually inviting them into our inner world, right? Allowing them to connect with that should they choose.
Right. And that's sort of the definition of being vulnerable to, right? Yeah. It's sharing your inner world and assume positive intent, assume that this person isn't going to, you know, bludgeon you or punch you in the face for having a different opinion than them. But it's okay to say, well, I feel a little differently about the situation. And I think this mm-hmm. is coming to mind right now as we get into an election year, right? Mm-hmm. And that in a world that is so polarized, right? It's kind of half of people think X, the other half think Y. And I'm maybe being over generalistic at this point, but it's really learning how to connect with people in an environment like now, even though people can say, don't talk about politics. To some extent, it's almost inevitable that it comes up in the first few dates, right? And mm-hmm. instead, and if somebody has views that are opposite of yours, get curious, like, oh, I'm curious. How did you come to that view?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's being curious is such an important skill, strategy, whatever you want to, but an approach really. Because I think that when usually there's that difference, we're all, you know, vulnerable to putting people in categories, right? We're already divided. And if someone tells me they have a specific view on politics, on social, I then have already put them in a box. Well, they must think this, 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 this. And if that's different from how I think, again, that's disconnecting. So I think being curious and allowing that person to really share more of who they are and how they may or may not fit in that category is helpful to us, but all, it's especially helpful to that relationship.
Right. And it makes dating a lot more fun when the goal isn't to have someone who's an identical version of you sitting in front of you, but just to be curious and to get to know different people and how they got to the mindset or the belief that they have. Right. Because usually there are reasons that people think and feel what they do. And getting curious enough to dig in can also give you empathy for somebody whose views are different than yours.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in that process, you also not only learn about so much about that person's perspective, but you learn so much about how they handle differences. So, you know, if you are coming in with a softer approach and you're being curious and you notice that that person is completely on the opposite and maybe they're getting more upset or more defensive, that's also information. I think that within itself can be really helpful. It's information we won't oftentimes don't get until much later.
Absolutely. I love that. And that brings me to my next question to you is, how do we feel like everybody wants to be loved and accepted for who they are, right? It's one of the most basic human needs. And yet in dating, sometimes we feel like we have to shape shift into, well, what's he looking for? What is he like? And that can affect our mindset and anxiety, right? Trying to be someone we're not, trying to fit our round peg into a square hole. Do you have any thoughts around how we can be more authentic in the dating process?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that even before we get into the dating process and throughout it, I think a lot of the work is actually with ourselves, right? So like our relationship with ourselves, having clarity on who we are and what we want, that's what's going to influence the dating experiences that we have in the relationship to a large extent that we get into. And so I think by being authentic, I think it's taking the time to really ask yourself, well, what is it that I want? Do I want a relationship? Do I want something casual? Am I looking for, you know, establishing a family with someone or a partnership? And so getting more clear as to what those things are and why those things are important to you. I think a lot of times we may, you know, think we want a relationship, but then when it comes down to it, maybe it's not actually as important. It requires some lifestyle changes, some time changes. And so if we can think about the why, that can make everything a lot easier for us. So I think being really clear on what it is you're looking for and really owning that. So like if we want to be more authentic when it's on the dating apps or it's in person, you know, rather than asking a person, what are they looking for? Let them know what you're looking for. So I think it's taking ownership and more just feeling empowered to, you know, share what it is that you are looking for. And if someone doesn't respond well to that, that's great because that's not what you're looking for, right? So I think it helps in filtering the process too. And the more that I think we can do that, the more that we can take action based on what it is we're looking for and our why, like why this is important to us, then it's going to feel easier and easier to continue to do that, even if there are setbacks in the dating process. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, perfectly. I've said in the media and to my clients, I want 2024 to be the year that you use your voice, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're, for example, I was talking to a client who was going back and forth with someone on a dating app, and he looked interesting, good photos, good profile. They had similar interests, but in the, you know, relationship status, like, what are you looking for? His thing was, I don't know what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I grow and learn through this process as a coach as well. So 5 years ago, I would have said, okay, well, if they don't know, just move on, right? But here it's okay, if he seems really interesting to you and is a good fit, why don't you connect, find places to connect on? And then as you end your message, which doesn't have to be long, just say, hey, I noticed that you said you didn't know what you were looking for in a relationship. I would love to hear more about that with the smiley face. Now, mm-hmm. you have just used your voice. Maybe he didn't know what to write. Maybe mm-hmm. he didn't see it. Maybe, and we assume positive intent. And so that's what I told her. Ask the question, use your voice. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to be authentic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's, you know, asking those questions and yeah, giving that person the opportunity to share, right? Because there can be many reasons why they put, I don't know what I'm looking for. I think a lot of time with men too, what I've heard is just, you know, it can feel a little more vulnerable to say we're looking for a romantic connection or like really marriage or partnership. But yeah, absolutely. Using your voice, but I think being clear on what it is you're looking for and why that's important. Because it's in that, then that's going to help us in, you know, when we need to, you know, make changes to our schedule or be a little more accommodating in the ways that are aligned for us, it's going to feel not only easier, just more connected to that overarching why, right? That overarching, how is this going to help me? Because I think dating, and I share this because I think dating at times, especially with the apps and just, you know, the many different ways that we're connecting, it can feel exhausting. Sometimes we'll be like, why am I doing this? I'm not meeting that person. So keeping that why in mind.
Yeah, definitely. And then to continue to your point, when you know what you want with this client, she was looking for a long-term relationship that could possibly mm-hmm. lead to marriage. And so mm-hmm. she knows that, and she knows her why, and she knows why she's asking that question. Because if the mm-hmm. gentleman said, I'm just looking for something casual, I'm just fresh out of divorce mm-hmm. and I'm looking to date lots of people, then at that point, the choice is her to say, you know what? Yeah. I'm actually really mindfully looking for people that are ready to find an exclusive relationship. So mm-hmm. You look like a great person, but we might be at different spots at this point. And you knowing what you want and being able to ask people that question without fear, right? And it's like, oh my God, but he looks so amazing. And I don't want to screw this up. You're not screwing anything up. You're being true to yourself by asking that question. And based on his response, you're in the driver's seat to say, yeah, actually, it's okay with me if he only wants a casual relationship, because that's what I want. And if he says he's looking for something casual and you're looking for something long term, don't fool yourself into thinking you're going to be that person that turns him into, he just hasn't met me yet. No, famous no. last words, that he might act like he wants to be exclusive with you for the first 8, 10, or 20 dates. And then at a certain point, he might just be like, okay, I'm good. Time to move on. And you're like, But wait, what just happened? He's like, well, I was only looking for something casual.
Absolutely. I love that you said that. Yeah, we cannot oftentimes, and I've never seen this, but we can't change, you know, it's sort of like if someone is hungry, right? Like you can't, you don't want to convince the person to be hungry. You can share with them, hey, do you want this type of food or that type of food? But if someone's not hungry, they're not hungry, right? And so if someone's not ready for that, you know, that part of their life, that phase of their life, what it also entails, right? And that what it means as far as time commitments, you know, the emotional commitments, then I agree with you. I think it's important to know that information sooner. And in some ways, it, you know, may be difficult because you may have connected to at a certain level with this person. but it saves us from a ton of heartache and headaches down the line. And really, you are taking back your time to refocus it with someone who is at the same place.
You know, it brings me to a story. And for you, dear listener, you might not have heard this podcast from a couple of weeks ago, but one of our clients, Courtney Bass, came back, a tech executive that's out in California, came back, went to Harvard undergrad, Harvard graduate school, and was just having trouble in the dating world. And she came and she started to work with us, and she was very clear that she wanted a long-term relationship that would lead to marriage, and she wanted to be a mother and was in her late 30s. And so she goes out on a date with a guy who basically on date one says to her, listen, I came from a family of origin that had trauma. I've proactively had a vasectomy because I don't want to be a parent. Never been married. Like, proactively snipped herself. And she was like, wow, I really liked him. I just said, well, you know, maybe we can spend time together and just be friends because we had so much in common. So they start hanging out. She's dating other people. He's dating other people. And they're starting to catch feelings. And so she says to him, hey, I'm starting to like you. We got to cut this off. I'm really sorry, but I know that I want something that's going to lead to marriage, and I've got to cut this off. Because you don't want to be married and you don't want to have kids. So they leave each other. And a few days later, he messages her and says, you know, maybe I wouldn't be that bad of a dad after all. Reverses his vasectomy. Oh, wow. They're now married, and she is the mother of a 2-year-old, and he is the best, most devoted, doting father. And so for her, had she not, she was all of the things we talked about. She was curious. She was happy to connect. She liked him. Okay, we can be friends. We can hang out. And as they got to be better and better friends, she was self-aware. I'm catching feelings. Ended it. The choice was his. She didn't say, unless you come back. She's like, look, you've been clear with me. I've been clear with you. Let's just go. Like, peace out. And he was like, oh, no, 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 no. I need you in my life. Right. And so an amazing story of people that were incredibly self-aware, but the right person will get you to do things you might never imagine.
I love that. That's so beautiful. I think, thank you for sharing that. I wasn't even thinking of that. I think so often, you know, we will, you know, including for myself, right? We assume that the person is fully aware and maybe, you know, they have explored all of this, and that's why they've made the decision of, oh, I don't want any children. But you're right. I think the right connection and also just self-reflection on their part then allows for that change to happen. I love that. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. So that, you know, and listeners, go back and listen to Courtney's love story. I didn't even do it justice because she's so articulate and eloquent. And literally that plot twist just blew us all away, that he was like,
yeah, I was not expecting that.
Neither were we, believe me. So, you know what?
I mean, speaks to the power of that connection.
Speaks to the power of connection and authenticity and being curious and being open and being true to yourself. And the right person willing to move mountains to be with you, right? And so as about as beautiful of a love story as there can be, but really being true and genuine, curiosity, continue to stay curious. Even if you feel like this isn't a romantic connection, if you feel like you're enjoying this person's company, just say, would you want to hang out as friends? And they could say yes, and they might say no, right? And you never know. You never know what'll happen.
Yeah. And then setting that boundary too. It's like, in some ways, it's her asserting what she needed. That was her boundary. And I think so often we think a boundary is this negative thing or it's a loss, but it was in that boundary that then he realized what she needed to be in connection with her.
And talk about setting a boundary. Having a vasectomy is a pretty damn big boundary. Right? So his boundaries were super clear. So Oh, this is so cool. Are there any last gems, Dr. Shiva, that you want to drop on our dear listeners?
Sure. I mean, I think as much as you can, try to make dating, you know, fun, of course, being clear and being intentional in it, like being clear on what it is you're wanting, but also focusing on other areas of your life. You know, I focus on the confidence of how to be a confident dater, but I think when we can invest in the other areas of our lives with friendships, spirituality, your work, your health, and we really focus on those areas, we in general become more confident, where our life becomes more fulfilling to us, and that within itself then spills over in our dating lives. So it's not just about having the skills of being a quote unquote confident dater, but the more that we can be taking care of ourselves and being confident in other areas, you will feel more confident in dating too. So I think just trying to, you know, also take a step back and just seeing what is going to help you to feel happy in your life right now, regardless of if you're in a relationship or not, or how the dating process is going.
I love that. Well, you're amazing. Thank you so much for being here with us today and for dropping your gems on our listeners, smart daters. Lots of you are coming out of hibernation, coming out of the weeds and saying you're ready for love. If you are, get on our website, go to smartdatingacademy.com, say that you're ready for a consultation. We will email you how our process works about our VIP coaching programs. And if you're not ready for love yet, or you're just enjoying listening to this podcast, get on. Give it a rating, write a review. Dr. Shiva and I want to know that you thought this episode was amazing, okay? And we read every single one and we're grateful. So you can help us to be the little podcast engine that could. So with that, I wish you a great week and we will see you next week. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.